that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone.
Hey, good morning. It's time for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live this 27th day of July, live from the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. Pour you a cup of coffee. Go get your Bible off the shelf and blow the dust off of it. And join the Wranglers for coffee. We'll be back right after this.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more.
When it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, and again, welcome to the Radio Ranch. And we're all here at the Radio Ranch this morning. And we'll just make the go around. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And I'll say good morning, Tim, also.
Good morning, Tim.
And he's going to say good morning, but we didn't have a microphone for Tim, so we might share off a little bit this morning, but he's joining us also, and we are all here at the Radio Ranch, just outside of Laramie, Wyoming, again, this 27th day of July. It's branding day here, so we've all gathered together, and as soon as this live broadcast is over, we're out and moving the cows through the chute and putting the ranch brand on the new calves that God blessed us with this year. And you know that, maybe we'll talk about branding a little bit this morning, but let's open up with a word of prayer. And Kyle, would you open us up this morning?
Absolutely. Oh God, my Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning humbly, Lord. We ask for you to be here with us. Lord, we're having a big day ahead of us. We're asking for you to be with the whole workings of the day. Let nobody be injured. Let everything go smooth. Let it be done in a timely fashion. Lord, let us have not only a lot of progress today, but a good time. Lord, the same with this morning. We ask for your Holy Spirit guidance to be with us, not only on the radio here through our thoughts and our words, but also through our whole lives and bodies, Lord, as we give it all to you. We become better and more mature servants than we've been in the past. Lord, again, we humbly come to you and we thankfully come to you that we have this opportunity now to fellowship over the airwaves, Lord, with all the saints out there that are tuning in. We ask for them for your Holy Spirit to be with them and for them to call in if they feel needed to or wanted to, and just have a good Radio Ranch coffee this morning with us and good fellowship. get our day and our weekend started off right, Lord. Big times ahead of us. We just ask for you to be with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. And I'd like to start off with a praise report this morning. Yesterday afternoon, right about 5 o'clock here, we got a call from Ginger out in Illinois. Nick and Ginger are on their family, been on the ministry for years. And their older son, Sean, works construction. And they got a call from his boss, said he had cut his hand with a circular saw. And that was all he said. And they're taking him to the ER. So we put it out on a prayer chain. We prayed here. And they just didn't know what the extent was. By about 8:30, he had been through surgery, and they found that it was just, I think, on the joint of one thumb. But it was down to the bone, and his dad sent me a text late last night, said the prognosis looked real good. Thanks for the prayers. So I think that's...
That's always a good sign.
Yeah, yeah. You know, somebody works construction, you kind of need your hands, and... But they certainly did that as soon as they got the phone call, was called in for prayer. And you know, we had a another family call in for prayer yesterday and kind of a little bit of guidance and kind of what our thoughts were on a couple different matters. And something she said right when before she hung up, she said, well, that's what you guys are there for. You know, and I thought that was... made me feel pretty good. Just kind of, again, put things in perspective that that's what we are trying to do here, and that's what we are doing, is carrying on the tending of the sheep, the feeding of the sheep, in the manner that Pastor did and the way he taught us.
Amen. Along that same line, I did receive a rather urgent prayer request again late last night, and while we're here, let's go ahead and pray. This is for Linda and Phil. We've prayed for them in the past, but he sent me an email at ramrod at sfaw.org. So it says, please pray for Linda and I. We are doing a form of light therapy right now. Something is changing and it doesn't look good. Some blackness is appearing on her foot and leg. I don't know if the light therapy is involved or previous things. Don't know if she could survive an amputation. Of course she could, but I won't be long before we have to make a decision and go to the hospital. So we'll do that. Heavenly Father, we do come before you, and we lift up Linda and Phil. And Lord, we ask that circulatory system would function properly in Linda, that blood would go all the way from the top of her head to the tips of those toes, Lord, and that you would restore any damage that may have been done, that you would just cause that body to function properly. We claim the healing power of Jesus Christ to flow into her even now as we speak, and we stand on it, come in agreement. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Jason, I thought about you this morning. I printed out was looking at the news before we came on, and it looks like Northern Colorado's wanting to secede from the Union and make the 51st state. Have you heard anything about that?
Very little.
I just saw a quick blurb on the news,
Don't get your hopes up. There's like 50 people that showed up to that meeting.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Out of about 5 million.
We'll see what happens. Who knows?
Yeah.
Not that it's necessarily a bad thing. I mean, you know, a lot of these things that we've had in the nation, you know, they started with a thought, an idea, and you know, who knows? You know, what's going to happen next? You know,
I think Texas is more likely to before Northern Colorado.
Yeah, I think so too. It is kind of interesting though. You watch these headlines and see where people's thoughts and minds are. The thing is, you know, like we've been talking a lot lately, we've been working on the Dragon Slayer newsletter, and a lot of things that have been just coming to my mind is that, you know, John's articles on salt of the earth, and, you know, salt of the earth, you know, how we need to get back to, you know, having salt of the earth people. And in that scripture found in Matthew, you know, talks about, you know, if salt loses its saltiness, it is used for nothing, or it's completely useless unless it's thrown out into the streets and trampled under the foot of man. And in that scripture, we've got a problem and we got a solution. And you know, right now, we've been thrown out into the streets and trampled under the foot of man. You know, and that is what makes us salty again. And a lot of people, it's sad when you think about it, how low people have to be brought down. You look at the history of Israel through the Bible and how low they have to be brought down before they cry out to God and how they repent of their sins and how they turn back to Christ. But so often it wasn't until they had bloodshed in their, and every family was affected by bloodshed. And when their sons and their daughters started dying, that's when they cried out to God. And we should be able to, as a people, be able to look at this and learn from it through history. But for the most part, people don't. You know, they don't. They can see it, and they know it's their history. But until it affects their household, until they've had blood spilled in their house, you know, they won't cry out to God. I mean, that's just how stiff-necked our people are, you know, and how much this society has had an effect upon them. You know, how far away from God they have grown.
Yeah. Well, I sure hope, like you said, that being thrown out in the street and trodden on, Kyle and I talked about that a little bit this week, I think, and I sure hope that that does return the saltiness to his people. Because if it does, if it will, it sure seems like we're right there, because you know, like you said, and we're working. Yeah, you're that article that you're writing, and we're getting in the newsletter. Very interesting things in there. You know, our children are being sacrificed, but they do it under the banner of the red, white, and blue, and it's their patriotic duty, and they're heroes. And they get the parents get a flag after it, and the whole town turns out for it. It's just a sacrifice. Now, the things that are, you know, in ways, it's benefiting the Afghani and Iraqi people, because any time that Christian Americans have gone into other nations, they've been a blessing.
But you think about, though, that how many people, though, who is it really benefiting from?
Oh, it's
there is a very
us.
Few people that are benefiting. Billions and billions of dollars on it. I mean, yeah. Those the contractors, those that are over there, you know, that are in the rebuilding. I mean, when you spend $12,000 for a plastic chair that you can buy for $10 at Walmart, you know, when you go in and in the rebuilding stages, yeah, there's an elite few that are,
and it would be so good if our people would see that. There's a little caricature cartoon drawing that has been out for several years, and it's George Bush Sr. and George Bush Jr. out on a golf cart. And they're talking about, you know, an all-volunteer military, that's the cheapest labor you'll ever get. And that's what they're doing. It's just cannon fodder to promote that select few. But it's also just to, and you mentioned it in one of the scriptures, I think, in that article, that our children are sacrificed. Our children are brought up, and they're you know, not just when they're children, but they're taken from us and they're killed. And that's the people don't see this perpetual war that we have been in since what, 2001. So 12 years we've been in a war, the war on
World War, longer than I mean I think it's the longest war that we've ongoing war that we've ever been in.
World War II started in 41, and it was over in 45, right? Started in 1941, yeah, yeah. December 8th, we declared war on Japan, and a day or two later on Germany, and then...
It might have been 46.
45 or 46, so 46, 5 years, and we're at 12 now. So see, it's longer than World War I and World War II put together, and that, of course, comes right out of the Protocols of Zion, is to have the people in a perpetual war. It benefits the Antichrist in so many ways. One, it helps them sleep better at night. Two, it makes them a boatload of money. And three, it kills off our best and brightest many of them anyway.
We got to remember the hidden agenda, though, is spiritual warfare.
It is. But that's where it comes to the...
Spiritual and physical. I mean, when they're taking our boys over there and killing them, that's pretty physical.
Yeah.
But and you're absolutely right, John. The spiritual side of it is it all happens. Why?
Because of our sin.
Because of our sin.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you got to look at the... I just lost my train of thought.
it's amazing. You look through, too, and you just... you can see that through... You read these different stories, war stories. I like a lot of World War II stories, World War I stories, fighter pilot stories. And, you know, you read about stuff like that. It's really interesting. And how you look at the bloodlines, you know, how, you know, our people were so... It was so common for them to be sent to the front lines and put up there right on the front lines, killed, just made and turned into cannon fodder. And how these Jewish bloodlines, you know, these Antichrist bloodlines, they ended up with a really cushy, high-paid, good position jobs throughout all...
Safe jobs,
yeah. You know,
kind of like the congressman's kids?
Exactly.
That's exactly what it is, yeah.
Yeah, what I was thinking of was we got to look at, in the physical realm too, Homeland Security and the Patriot Act, all those things that are just designed to take away our God-given freedoms.
Oh, absolutely. Especially when you've got, you know, 6,000 or 8,000 less patriotic people here in the United States, because it's been those 6,000 or 8,000 that have enlisted and have gone over and been sacrificed in war. Then you've got another 6,000 or 8,000 more of our soldiers in the last 11-12 year war have killed themselves than have died in combat-related injuries. So you double that amount of who have been killed overseas. And those people aren't here to think, hey, wait a minute, this Homeland Security isn't right. This isn't right. That isn't right. They've just been removed out of the picture.
Kyle, you're awful talkative this morning.
Well, I was letting this kind of play out, and I agree with what you guys are saying. I have a little bit of a different take on the salt that we don't really think about too much. Me and Richard talked about it, like you said, a couple days ago or whatever. You know, our people are not salty in general. But once you become a Christian, an Israelite Christian or Christian whatever, you better have salt or you're good for nothing. And once you've been branded, which we're going to do today, once you've got that seal of God on you, if you become good for nothing, you're done. You don't get to be salty again, you know. God's always had a remnant. He had a remnant in Elijah's day, you know, where 7,000 men still were salty, hadn't bowed their knee to Baal. And I think we still have that remnant today. And they are the ones who have the spiritual armor on. They might have the physical armor on too, but they have the spiritual armor. They are the salt of the earth and the light to the world right now, even though we can't see them very often because the world is so dark. But I guarantee you there's a remnant, and I don't know how many it is. Maybe it's always 7,000. Who knows how many it is? But when Israel was cast off, cut down, regarded by God as beasts of the field and fowls of the air and every creeping thing there is, you see, they lost their salt. They didn't know who they were. They didn't care. They were saltless people, good for nothing, you know. And... But once you become salty again, you know, and some people just do it because, you know, we've lived in a pretty cushy era. You know, even though we see death all around us, when you look back on all the war areas that Jason's talking about, and all you look at all these different eras where there's been travesties.
Yes.
After travesties. I mean, can you imagine the Civil War days where you have maybe a son on one side and a son on the other, or several?
And that happened.
And that did happen, you know. And then you look at you know, fighting against Germans, cousins or maybe a brother or that you know is on the other side. I mean, you might not be looking down the barrel at him, but he might be in the war that you're in, the actual battle, or across the hill. We've lived in a cushy time to where it hasn't turned people back to being salty again yet, you know. And a lot of that is the mental part, you know, because they've been whipped in the mind, which has been way worse in our era than it has, I think, in any other era in the past. It was more physical, hands-on war. Now it's been more mental. So we can go to like a Branson, Missouri, and they can have everybody stand up for the veterans, and they don't even have a clue what those veterans fought for, you know, or who they fought for, or what God they serve. I mean, they don't even have a clue because their mind has been taken a long time ago. Anyway, back to the beginning, and that is when you get salty again, when you've had enough or whatever, and you, what do? You turn to the Lord. You cry out. You turn to the Lord. I mean, and you put on the Spirit of God, and then there's no more you're good for nothing, because if there's a day where it comes you're good for nothing again, you're done.
Yeah, there's several scriptures that actually list those in that article. You know,
and that's something people don't realize. You know, it's serious stuff when you make a commitment to fight in the Lord's army.
Amen.
I mean, it's serious stuff. You know, and in generalities as a whole, like you guys have been saying, that the nation, our nation, the nation of Israel, they lost their saltiness a long time ago, and they need to get it back. You know what I mean? And they have at times through the past. They got it back when they built this country. You know, and you can read about it in Micah chapter 4. They got it back, but then on a whole, it left again. You know, and there's some people that were born not only of flesh but of spirit too, that became good for nothing, and they were actually good for nothing. And then their children were raised without that saltiness again, and lost, just like they were before they came here and before Jesus Christ came and died on the cross. I mean, I don't know. There's just a lot to look at on that subject, the salt. That,
there is. You know, well, you know, when you mentioned that about our people at times had their saltiness again, and that's when they formed this nation, Jason. I think that's how you began your article in this newsletter. And Kyle hadn't seen it yet because we're still working on it. But I think that's saying the same thing, that they were. When this nation was formed, when the pilgrims left in a leaky little boat to cross the entire ocean, you know, they knew what they were doing. They were not just in the salty ocean, but they had that saltiness. And when they came over here, and the covenant that they made, the Mayflower Compact, was to further the Christian religion. And I like how you put it, Jason, not to further the Judeo-Christian religion. You know, in that term, so many people think of that Judeo-Christian. That's only, do you know when that came into play? Has it just been in the last 40 years or something?
Oh, yeah, I would
say
so.
Since World War II, probably.
And it wasn't, you didn't hear it a whole lot, not even 15 years ago. Yeah. You know, it was, I'd say in the last 15 years, you started hearing it a lot.
It's really.
When I would listen, you know, and I didn't do it very often, to a Christian radio station, let's say 20, 25 years ago, they didn't use that term.
No, they didn't.
You know, and then all of a sudden, I quit listening to them, and I turned back, and then all of a sudden, they all use it.
I know, they do.
Yeah. 25 years ago, how old are you?
I'm 51.
Just wait, buddy.
You know, we got to remember this nation's under a spell, and that's really our job in this ministry, always has been. Pastor Peters started it, but is to show the truth to the remnant, you know, and expose those the lies.
Amen. To try to break that spell, isn't that what is it? Isaiah, it says, "Awake, awake, come out of that spell." And I think discussions like this, you know, we get emails and we hear many times that hopefully it's discussions like this that get people thinking. You know, think about it. A Judeo-Christian ethic, Judaism, denies Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Christian ethic, Christianity, is based on Jesus Christ being the Son of God. How can you have, you know, that's the double-mindedness, I think would be the right term, that has been cast, maybe if it's just been stronger in this last 15 years, like you said, Jason, that's been cast on the people, that, oh, it's a Judeo-Christian ethic. Oh, deny Christ, accept Christ. And they have that dazed, deer in the headlights look, and it makes the people...
The thing is what it boils down to is they don't want to have anything to do with Christ.
Right.
You know, right. Yeah. Because
except they want Christ to love them. Yeah. That's as far as their extent of the relationship they want to have with Christ goes. Right. If Christ doesn't love them, that's why they love all that they do.
It doesn't bother them if a man who's voted in president or not voted in or however he gets there doesn't even say Jesus Christ. Doesn't even bother them. You know, and they look at you like, why does that bother you that he doesn't mention who his God is? You know? Well,
yeah.
It's because they don't care.
Well, look at this week. Our president, you know, abomination, hosts a big dinner and celebration for Ramadan, you know?
Right.
He gets rid of National Prayer Day, and people don't see it, you know? Duh. You think he might be a Muslim? Nah. It just sometimes I don't know. You scratch your head, that's
it
for is. Sure.
It gets frustrating. It really does. You know, again, the days of, I guess, where is it, Isaiah, is it 51, 52? It's awake. You just want to shake them. Don't you see this? Yeah. Wake up from this spell.
And that's what we try to do, too. You know, a lot of people, I mean, I get a few emails here and there and letters and stuff, and people say, what's your deal with this Catholic Church thing, you know? And I'm like, let me tell you something. If one thing that we reveal wakes up one person out of that spell, then it's worth it.
Amen.
Because, you know, you can't even believe the following. If you tune in, Nick, tomorrow, you'll hear a little bit, but you won't believe how many people were on Twitter, you know, to get these indulgences from the Pope.
Forgiveness of their sins. Go to Twitter.
Yeah, and now Pinterest. And, I mean, all of these sites. But we're talking millions, multi-millions of these young people that are deceived by this religion.
That will think that
come out of her, my people.
If they Twitter to the Pope, or to the Pope at Twitter, whatever it is, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned, and they get a canned response, okay, that they're covered.
Yeah,
they think that.
Well, yeah. I got more details than you can believe, but you can't make this stuff up. Literally, if you tried to make this stuff up, you could not make this stuff up.
Well, the part that really bugs me about it is how stupid it makes. You know, they're supposedly the sect of Christianity. How stupid it makes people that believe in Christ look.
Yeah,
because it's so ridiculous. You know, it has nothing to do with faith. It has everything to do with worshiping men or women. You know, I mean, and it mm-hmm. and you know, when people act like they're doing things like that in the name of Jesus Christ, that's what bothers me the most.
See, they don't say Jesus Christ; they say Christ, Christ over and over. And what do they call?
Yeah.
The Pope. You know, the Vicar of Christ. That's where you got to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear.
But normal people don't see that.
Exactly. But, I mean, I've talked to a lot of people that had no idea that the church even, you know, they had heard something about indulgences from the past. But for them to continue on doing that and to promote it and let these kids believe, just like Dad would always say, that they can sow their oats and repent later, that's not God's plan.
Yeah, theirs is every week. Sow your wild oats all week long, and hey, you can go to Mass and
go to Twitter. Yeah, and that, well, the thing is...
Go to Twitter, yeah.
But you look at, that's in the Catholic Church, you look at the modern-day Judeo-Christian churches, and they come up with a different plan, and they do it with the way with the law of God, because if you have no law, then you have no sin.
Yeah.
And if you have, then you cannot transgress it. They make it impossible to have sin, because the law is completely done away with. So therefore, there is no sin.
Yeah.
You know, so you can do whatever you want.
And that's how easy it is to do the faith-only thing. Because then, all you have to do is believe. You know,
believe,
it doesn't even go in.
I was believing on that barroom floor.
Yeah. Well, at Branson, I brought up, you know, I was raised Lutheran, and I went to, what was it called? Confirmation for like 3 years, for 2 hours every Wednesday. And I never even, nobody ever taught you the truth of communion and the importance of it and how you abide in Christ and how you're supposed to confess your sins. It was, you know, the Nicene Creed and all this other stuff that has nothing to do with really what's important in life. And it's amazing how these they just keep you from the truth, you know, all of these churches.
Well, they promote their doctrines of men.
Yeah.
As opposed to the doctrines of Christ or the doctrines of God. And they've done it all along.
Yeah, you know, they hold on to that. Their little bit of pagan belief. Every one of those churches holds on to it. You know, the part of that Reformation was was based on the indulgences and the outrage of, that Latimer and Luther and all of them had at the Catholic Church, among other things. But
yeah, well, and you look at, I mean, all these churches, they've been perverted so much down through the years, through times and times. You know, again, it seems like there's always, you know, there's that seed of Satan, whatever you want to call it, the Antichrist forces, they've gotten into all the churches. You know, well, I shouldn't say all the churches, but majority of the churches across there, whether it's Lutheran, Catholic, you know, Mormonism, they're in there in one form or another.
Yeah, there's something called the Jesuit Oath that's supposedly in the congressional law, but what it basically says is that when they take this oath, there's a preamble to it, and they say, infiltrate the Protestant churches all the way to the point of the pulpits and go along with their doctrines until the time is right, and then strike, just like a snake. And if you think about it, these Lutheran churches and all this, they stood somewhat against evil for, you know, at least partially, but now even the Missouri Synod and things like that, they're starting to accept homosexuals and women preachers and homosexual preachers. I mean, you think maybe they got infiltrated by some of those Jesuits that got into their pulpits? I think absolutely.
Well, yeah, I can't remember what church it was or what seminary school it was that we were reading about the other day that had that. They opened up that, it was a seminary school, and it had a gay and lesbian organization.
Yeah, I think I saw that.
At the seminary school. And it said, well, it only has 12 members at this point.
Well, that's because God loves everybody, Jason.
Yeah.
And he loves the sinner. He doesn't really hate the sin. He just doesn't like it. But that's the mentality. That's what they put out. That's what they preach from the pulpit. They take this word, and it is, they put another gospel out. It is another gospel. It is, you know, Revelation talks about beware the false Christs. They'll arise and do this and that. That's what these churches and these seminaries, like you talk about, that's what they've done. They have arisen. They have put in the people's minds a false Christ.
You know, I've been wondering, just, you know, if we started praying for these people in these churches just to read their Bibles, you know, if they would just read their Bibles, those, you know, people that are going, there's people, I mean, there's thousands of people, millions of people in church every Sunday. If they did nothing more than the Holy Spirit came upon them and they started to read their Bibles, they would figure out that their preacher, their church is.
And then they would start...
two more folds the son of hell.
They would start figuring out how much it was going to cost them. I mean, that's the first thing they'd do.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Because when you try to bring people truth, I mean, all of a sudden their wheels and their minds start working, and they're, okay, this is going to cost me them. This is going to cost me them. You know, and then they're on the line, you know, because ignorance not bliss no more.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, okay, this is where the rubber meets the road. So in a way, even though that's kind of negative sounding, it's really positive because... you know, it's like some of the little sayings we can't say over the air, but it's like, you know, do it or get off the pot. You know, saying you're a Christian and not being a Christian. You know, I mean.
Maybe if they do that and read, they'll read the parable of the rich young ruler who came to Christ and said, what do I have to do, good master?
They better read Acts 2:38 first if they want to get to the Holy Spirit.
They better. But if they'll read that and see that he said, well, you know, keep the commandments. And then those people might think, well, I do that. I haven't killed anybody, and I honor my parents, and I love God. So I'm good. And then if they'll keep reading it, and then what does he say? Sell everything you got and follow me. That's that price. Yeah. Will they pay that price? And they'll get to the point of either saying yes or no.
Yeah.
Either accepting him and following him and at least theoretically giving up the world, turning from the world, Or then that's when they hopefully will see that Acts 2:38, or denying him,
yeah,
and saying, you know, no, I'm not going to do that, you know. But they don't come out and say that. They say, well, I read it, and that's, yeah, that's what my preacher preaches. And they'll flip over here, yeah, he preaches this too, and oh yeah, he preaches this. You know, they deny it without openly denying it.
Yeah,
but I think that's a great idea, Jason. We should be doing that.
I mean, if you have a collective consciousness of people that come together and start reading their Bibles in a church, or it'd be kind of interesting to target a church, one specific church, and pray that the people that were in there start reading their Bibles and start saying, well, wait a minute, you know, what's going on here?
First, they got to go buy one.
Well, John, it's like you said about the Catholics. If doing that gets one person out, opens one person's eyes, that's worth it.
Yeah.
That's worth it.
And I've actually heard from several that say, wow, we never did realize that. And I always, you know, I'm guilty too, because, you know, Dad would preach against it. And I thought, yeah, okay, that's evil. But I never looked into it. And boy, the deeper you look, it's flat out evil. There's no doubt about it.
It is. Well, and, you know, you mentioned that about that Jesuit oath of infiltrating and to wait until the time is right. You can read that very same thing in the Protocols of Zion.
Yeah.
You know, we carry that book, and you can, if you are interested in it, you can read in that how the Antichrist, the Jewish people, have had that very thing from the, 1400s, even as far back as that. We have it, it's documented in that book. You know, become their doctors and their lawyers, even into the seminary, and infiltrate slowly. Be like them. Slowly, slowly, slowly.
Old Henry Ford had that figured out. Jason and I, when we were there in Alaska, we went to an old car museum, and sure enough, looking at a 1928 Dodge, and what do you see? Nothing but a big Jewish star and Dodge Brothers on it. And a lot of people know that story already, but it appears the story is, I'm not sure if the Dodge Brothers were Jewish or not, but I'm sure they were backed by the Jews. But Henry Ford had figured it out about the Jewish issues, and Jason was telling me the Model T's and the Model A's, they were putting the Protocols of Zion right there in the glove box.
Every glove box had a copy of it in there.
Now, you know, and people look at that now and say either they don't care, or, oh, well, he was just anti-Semitism. You know, that's like the Gideons putting the Bible in all the hotel rooms. You know, I think it really is. It really is. If that's what it is. Well, guys, you want to open the phone lines up, or you think we're just rocking pretty hard here?
Yeah, I'd open the phone lines. Let's see what the remnant has to say. We kicked off quite a few subjects. Oh, one other thing I wanted to say.
Well, let me get the phone number.
All right.
307-745-5913. If you do want to call in, and whether it's on one of the subjects we've kind of started on or not, but we are all here at the Radio Ranch.
So I'm driving up, and I'm listening to Coast to Coast, and they got some other new guy in there. But anyways, you listen to the national news, you know, the AP news, and there's that old boy, I don't even know his name, but the guy that kidnapped those three women, kept them for 10 years, right? Stole 10 years of their lives. So not only did he kidnap these three, he raped them. And what's the persecution or the prosecution going for? Life in prison without possibility of parole, plus 1,000 years. And it just makes you beside yourself.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is you look at those. It was kind of interesting because I read that yesterday about his plea, that he pleaded down so he wouldn't get the death penalty.
He had 900 counts.
Yeah. And, you know, that happened. There was just that abortion doctor who was found guilty, we're supposed to do. He pleaded guilty on all this stuff, so he wouldn't. And he ended up with, you know, 900 and some years, you know, to escape the death penalty. And recently there's been several of these people that have been caught. I mean, they should be killed, but they're scared to death of the death penalty. And the thing that was, to me, was really interesting is they know that death comes and then the judgment.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
And they are scared to death. Yeah. They'll do whatever it takes. I mean, to me, I was thinking about it. It's like, man, if I was going to go to prison for 1,000 years, just kill me. I mean, geez.
But they're scared.
I mean,
because it's like, don't enter your mind to know.
What do I have to be scared of?
Yeah.
But they are, you look at them, they're scared to death of death.
Yeah, but you're right. And those that are in the position to enact those penalties are just as guilty.
They are.
And the saddest thing is, even if they did, I mean, the guy comes forward and admits it, both of these guys that we're talking about, and even if they got the death penalty, it'd be 15 years, and then they'd be acquitted, and we'd, you know, and the lawyers would make fortune, and the bank, you know, the judges that own percentage of jails, they're just protecting their livelihood, that's all.
The system. Yeah. It does. Guys, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Oh, you got to push the button, Richard. Slap. Good morning again. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning.
Sorry about that.
I have a question that I would, it'd be a quick question I'd kind of like to ask off air. Could I call this same number when the program is over?
Sure, right at the, just maybe a minute or two after the top of the hour.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. And we'll stay with the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee.
Oh, good morning, sir.
Hey, you're on the air with the Wranglers. What can we do for you?
I know you got the pistol prayer and the rifle prayer, but how about a shotgun prayer? Put a little rock salt.
Oh, if you're going to use a shotgun, don't use rock salt. Because that
double out buck works much better.
It does. It does.
Especially, preferably the 13 pellets.
Especially in a Utah UTA 15.
So what were you thinking of for a shotgun prayer?
Well, put some salt back.
Oh, okay, I get you. Yeah, some rock
good point.
Salt. There you go. There you go, to get some salt back in the people. That, you know, that may be, Jason, what you're talking about with, well, thanks, caller. We got that then. That may be that praying for the one church. To read their Bible, you know, shotgun them.
So if you're listening and you like your church to be prayed for, send in an email to Scriptures for America.
And say, rock salt, shotgun rock salt, this church.
That's a good idea.
I think it's a great, so caller, if you're still listening, you were above my head there when you had the rock salt. My bad.
Yep.
Let's turn this into a raffle. We'll just, anybody listening, if you got a church you'd like to nominate to be lifted up and prayer that their congregation will actually buy Bibles and use them, send that in to scripturesforamerica.org.
Yeah, that was interesting. How much time we got left here?
Oh, it's 7:42. I got a clock right here, yeah.
It is Brandon Day.
It is.
And
you like cutting them bulls.
What comes along with Brandon?
Castrating.
Yeah, and that's what we do here. Cut with a knife. It's always a good day at the ranch when you can brand cows and see those new calves running around.
It is. And, you know, the pastor always talked about, I always found it interesting when he would talk about that brand. You know, when we brand these cows, that means that they're the ranch's. They belong to the ranch. And how do you know they belong to the ranch? Because they have the ranch brand on it.
They got the seal, the mark.
They've got the mark. And we are to have that mark. We are to be sighing and groaning as we've been doing at the abominations that are going on, at the filthiness of the Catholic Church, the lies that they put out. Does that mean that all Catholics are bad? No. But if you're a good believing Catholic, you're believing lies.
Yeah. A lot of them, you ask, why are you Catholic? Well, we've always been. You know,
my mama was a Catholic. My daddy was a Catholic.
Yeah, Peter called it a generational curse, and it is. I mean, and it's not just Catholic churches; lots of churches. They're in a bubble. They don't want to get out. They don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to mess up their little lives, even though their lives are miserable. You know,
exactly.
They're playing church.
They think that they're at peace. They think that they're healthy. They think that they're wealthy. They think that they are in the will of God. And where is it? I don't know exactly where it is, but it says, you know, you think it's that, is it that the church of Thessalonica maybe? And it says, you think all these things, but you're wretched.
The Laodiceans.
You're wretched, and you're blind, and you're poor, and you're naked. And that's how these people are. That's how the majority of so-called Christians today are. Because they follow a false Christ. They follow this false Christ that's been promoted by these false teachers, by these wolves in sheep's clothing. And it's not the God of the Bible. It's not the Christ of the Bible. I got an email in yesterday, and this person, this Bible scholar, had said, I just wanted to forward this out to everybody. And somebody had written into him saying, you know, I read in here where God says, I created evil in the Old Testament. And it says that. And he says, I just have a problem with that. I can't understand it, and this and that. And the guy goes into a 4-page dissertation on it. You know, some things you're not going to understand. You know, but And I just use that as
well,
an example.
Well, and the thing
they
is,
don't want to read the Bible.
You could understand it if you took the Bible for what it's worth and read your Bible.
Right.
But if you've been listening to a Baal priest who's been brainwashing you, taking parts of the Bible out, mm-hmm. discrediting them, talking
right.
about, you know, lying to you, then you're not going
to
believe it.
Plus, educated to a point of PhD, piled higher and deeper. I mean, people don't realize, but the deeper you get into the education system of the world, the further you get away from Christianity.
Absolutely.
True Christianity.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Well, let's try this one then. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello, Richard. Calvin here.
Good morning, Calvin.
I was just thinking earlier about the situation there with that black guy that broke in on that gal a couple of weeks ago and beat her.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And I got thinking of the word savage. And they used to be referred to in different countries that were without any training or knowledge that they would be referred to as the savages. And so I looked up the word, and it seems to be untaught, unschooled, with no training. And when you run into like a savage dog, all they want to do is to kill. They have no real reason. It's just what's in their nature because they haven't been trained. And you have to be very careful of people who are animals who are savage in their nature because they don't have any reasoning. And when you take away, remember the verse that said, if you forget God speaking, if you forget my laws, my commandments, I'll forget your children.
Amen.
So
Hosea 4:6.
We are prey to the savages of this earth if we are of his people. And so we have to be very careful to pray for our children and our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
And the very inheritance that we have that is actually God's inheritance, his people, to be well aware that when we're walking around, have eyes to see and ears to hear. Don't get yourself in a position unless you have a covering or God guarding you.
Yeah, especially now, Calvin, because our court systems, our judges, they don't obey or even believe God's laws. So they don't take these savage animals like you're talking about and do what you should do with a savage animal. I mean, if there's a rabid dog or a coyote or a wolf come on your property, what do you do with them?
You
shoot them.
Him.
Yeah,
shoot.
Absolutely. So beans our government or the ones who make the rules, you know, they don't do that, then we've got to be even on extra care because they're walking around everywhere, these savages.
At a report.
I remember a wild dog that was loose when I was a little boy down in Argentina when my father, all he had was a .22. And it took 17 bullets to finally bring that dog down. He just kept on going. Didn't matter if you shot him. He was crazy. And I know my brother in Bolivia was missionary. His two-year-old boy's on the porch up there in Potosí. And a dog, these guys are trying to get him, my brother, distracted so they could get in there and steal stuff. Well, they took a little boy off the porch by the nose and the ear. Boy, oh boy, what a mess. Just wickedness. It's so... You've got to be very careful. Be on your guard.
Amen.
And if you're anything like the fellas down here in North Carolina in the town I live in, you see an awful lot of people carrying a lot more now than you did when I first moved down here a few years back. And they encourage you to carry.
Amen.
Be on guard.
Amen.
And so anyway, I just thought that might be a reason that they forgot their children. They forgot our children. Because they let on this group of people now that have no fathers to train them. The families are split. And the powers to be behind it, the third parties, they did on purpose. You go back to the Civil War. When that took place, boy, it unleashed a hell of a problem.
It did.
It didn't give those people any more rights.
No.
It took away rights from them. It took away rights from us if it would let them.
It did, Cal. And the Civil Rights Act of 1965, in effect, has destroyed the black population.
Absolutely.
Because it has taken the black father out of the home and taken the black male out of the home and
absolutely
put them either in the prison or in the ghetto, in the slums, or breaking in people's houses like, you know, like they do.
Detroit's a perfect example.
Oh, you look at Detroit.
What you had white flight out of that city of Detroit, and what happened?
It is becoming like South Africa.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
There are like 100,000 homes there that are just empty or being destroyed.
Yeah. When you see those pictures of Hiroshima and the pictures of Detroit, and you wonder which one got bombed, you know?
Yeah.
That's right.
In 1960.
That was my 2 cents worth, man.
All right, Cal.
Thanks for calling.
I'm out there branding. I got to try to stay in here and keep out of the rain. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks.
Bye.
Just a quick note, and caller will come right to you. But in 1960, the city of Detroit had the highest per capita income in the entire nation.
Yeah.
And so that's basically in two generations.
It was the highest industry, too.
It was. It's gone to, in 1950, there were 296,000 manufacturing jobs in Detroit. Today, there's less than 27,000. And you know what part of those 27,000 manufacturing jobs are? They count, like at Wendy's, when they put a hamburger together, they consider that a manufacturing job. They do. That's why there's 27,000 jobs there.
Have you seen their hamburgers? It is, man.
I guess so. Let's go to phone lines. Hey, good morning, caller. We've got a few more minutes. Welcome to coffee.
Good morning, Richard. I was calling in to say something to Jonathan. Jonathan, I really appreciate you blowing off the tap on this Catholic Church thing. Recently, I've been looking at a book that 50 Years in the Church of Christ that you offer through that Catholic packet,
uh-huh.
And I'm not even halfway through it yet, and it's really an eye opener. And I just want to give you some more steam in your stack there, because I wanted to point out, I'm sure you know this, but I just wanted to bring to reminder Psalms 115:4-8 talks about the idols of silver and gold, the work of man's hands. And this, I know this doesn't just apply to the Catholic Church. I mean, there's other people out there that do this, but it's very a dangerous thing, because the idols, it talks about all of our senses, and part of it is they have eyes but they can't see, and they have ears but they can't hear.
Right.
And they said all those who make idols and trust in them will become like them. So I just want to point that out to you, that you're doing a great job, and keep up the good work on blowing off the idols of the Catholic Church.
Thank you. This is Becky, right?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Becky. Appreciate it. Yeah, if you remember back to the Eucharist, where they talk about the communion, talk about an idol, you know, looking like the sun, gold. So I appreciate you bringing up that scripture.
Exactly. So I'm just keep going with it, because that's actually, I believe, how a lot of, like you said, some Catholics are saying, it really makes sense, because you're blowing off the tap of the idols, you know. And it's just like in Jeremiah, when God told him to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to plant and to build, you know, those four actions have to be done before we can plant and to build, you know.
Amen. Thank you.
But I just wanted to bring that out, and I thank you so much for keeping up the good work and feeding the flock, all of you, and you have a blessed weekend.
You too. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Becky. Thank you. Well,
This is now that we're talking about these, these people who were on subsidies. This was an interesting article I saw this week too. Was not only are 47 million people on food stamps, but these people are taking the food, putting it in barrels, and sending it to Jamaica and the Caribbean. And apparently, when you go to those ports there and the other nations, there's thousands and thousands of these barrels, these plastic barrels that they buy and put the food in and ship over there. And I sent that out to several people, and they said, oh, what's next, you know? And I sent them back the scripture. I said, well, I got news for you. It's going to get worse, because God says that the stranger will go higher and higher, and you'll go lower and lower. And that's exactly what's happening. And they don't want to hear it, but you know, we're seeing God's word and prophecy be fulfilled before our eyes.
It is. And that's where we have to keep faith. We have to remember that God is still in control, that he has his remnant, if his remnant will stay true to him and will turn away from that world and turn away from the worldly things.
Amen.
And being that you guys have been writing about salt this week, and not be like Lot's wife. You know, when you like Kyle said, when you repent, when you read the word, when you're baptized, when you get that saltiness back and you become his and you move into his jurisdiction, don't be like Lot's wife and turn back.
Yeah. I think it was more God had a love for Abraham than he did for Lot. And Abraham's really the one that said, if there's righteous in that city, will you spare him?
And it was Abraham who prayed for those people.
Exactly.
Not that they would continue in their sin, but that they would come out of their sin so they wouldn't be destroyed.
Yeah. Pretty interesting, really. Any part of that Bible, any story, any parable, anything within that Bible, if you really just seek God's guidance and the Holy Spirit's guidance, and you look at it, and you read it, and you reread it, and you read it, and you reread it, and things will come to you that you never saw before.
And then 10 years later, more things
will come. Yeah. Living word.
Yep, amen. It is.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, this gives us things to talk about.
Right, and it says, if you ask, if you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be opened. But if you don't seek, you won't find it. If you don't knock, the door won't be open. So,
well, we're fixing to fire up the burners, I guess, huh?
Yep, just about time. Well, folks, we thank you all you remnant, and for joining us here on this Coffee with the Wranglers this Saturday morning, live from the Radio Ranch. These messages are archived at the website, sfawbn.com, and you can go there and listen to them and order a CD if you'd like to do that. We do want to invite you to church. Come to our ministry website tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And that is scriptures4america.org. And if you'll do that and click on the live video stream, you can join us for church. And so we want to do that. We want to invite you for that. Well, guys, we're out of time. Thanks again for joining us. And we'll go out with this song that the pastor shared. Thanks again.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.